Hello, my name's Fiona and I'm a London Walks guide and a Blue Badge tour guide in London. And I've been thinking about how one of the delights of our job is that we get to visit the same places repeatedly. And it's actually something that we very often get asked as guides is, do we not get bored because we're going back to the same places over and over again? And the answer is no. Because for one thing, we actually cover quite a lot of different areas of London, so we're not going back to the same place day in, day out. But actually, more importantly, we tend to go to places with different people. And no two walks or tours are ever exactly the same, because the people you're with will change the way the walk unfolds. But also, very often we're going to places for the first with people who've been to them for the first time, and that means when they discover something, we get a little echo of what they're discovering. We get to see the place through their eyes. And if you walk into the most architecturally fabulous space and someone goes, wow, that's amazing, then we get the little echo of that. We get the yay, wow, that is amazing. And that holds true, I think, every time I visit somewhere. But what's lovely about going to places repeatedly is you gradually get to fill in more and more detail about the areas. You discover really rich kind of details about places that you're visiting and showing guests. And particularly with London Walks, we get quite a variety of walkers. Some people are visiting London for the first time, some people are visiting but have come to London for years and years and years, and they actually know it really well. And we also get a lot of Londoners who are exploring their own city and possibly even exploring the neighbourhood where they live or work and discovering more about it. And quite often it's those local people who will fill in little snippets of detail about the places we're visiting, which we can then go away and research and fill in, and will take us in a direction that we maybe hadn't thought we would take the walk. So I used to regularly lead a walk around South Kensington, which is arguably one of the most sort of cultural areas of London. It's the museum quarter of London, home to the big museums, the Science Museum, the Natural History Museum, the Victorian Albert, home also to lots of fantastic educational establishments, universities and colleges. We have the Albert Hall, the Albert Memorial, and it was a really lovely walk to lead regularly. In my head it was always beautiful blue sunshine, blue skies, so you'd have the fabulous white stuccoed terraces of South Kensington from the early 1800s. You have the red brick mansion blocks of the late 1800s, some of the first blocks of flats built in London. We had the blue of the skies, we have the green of the parks of Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens, and lots of glorious architecture all around the area, the whole area like a kind of jewel box of little treasures. And at one point in the walk we would walk through the campus of Imperial College. Now, Imperial College has a fantastic reputation for science, medicine, engineering, particularly those kind of subjects, and it is regularly up there in the lists of universities, the best universities in the world. It's very high up the top of the list. But in terms of architecture, some of its buildings were built in the 1960s, maybe 70s. They're very concrete, they are square. It's an architectural style known as brutalism, and it is not to everybody's taste. Now, I quite like a bit of brutalism, and particularly on that walk, in amongst the really overblown sort of flamboyance of the Albert Memorial, in amongst the sort of Victorian Gothic of the Natural History Museum, I love that there is a bit of this really kind of chunky, square, concrete, brutalist structures. But walking through one day, something caught my eye, and it was a little, effectively one room stuck up above the rest of one of these blocks. It was octagonal, I think. I'm trying to remember now. I think at least half of the sides were glass, were windows, possibly all the way round. At first glance, it looked a little bit like an air traffic controller's room. And I wondered aloud with my group what it might be. And we had various suggestions. And somebody said it's the place with the big sofa and the bottle of wine. And I thought, well, that sounds rather nice. If you went up there at sunset or at dusk, you'd be just above the skyline of most of the other buildings nearby. You'd be able to see the tops of the trees in the park. You'd be able to see the top of the bell tower of Imperial College, which again was late Victorian, actually predates the college, the university, but very much like a kind of Tuscan Italianate Provençal bell tower in amongst all these other more modern buildings. So you'd see the top of that, you'd see some church spires, you'd see the top of the Albert Hall, and you'd have sunset over London with a nice glass of wine. What could be more delightful? So on subsequent walks with different groups of people, we again enjoyed this speculation about what it could be, and I said that my favourite suggestion I'd had was the place with the sofa and the bottle of wine. And this went on for several months, until one day there was a lady in the group who said, I know what that is. It's the... And at this point, I have to say, I had quite mixed emotions because I was quite excited to find out what it could be. And actually in that building, there is some very exciting stuff. They have a room, or maybe not a room, maybe just a space, that is the coldest place in the universe. So, I mean, the bar was set quite high for possible exciting things that it could be. But at the same time, I didn't really want to know what it was, in case it turned out to be something quite dull. And actually, in the walk as a whole, there's far too much information. There's all sorts of other things I want to talk about. I could never get to finish it on time. I didn't need to know what it was. This was just a lovely little interlude, a bit of delightful speculation, a sort of fantastical whimsy about what it could be that was in the middle of the walk. Nowadays, if you want to know what something is, you might instantly try Googling it. Actually, when I started doing this walk, it was 15, maybe 16 years ago, and that wasn't such an automatic reaction in those days. But if I had wanted to know what it was, I probably could have walked round to the front desk of the building and said to them, look, I'm a guide, I'm interested, can you tell me? And I may or may not have been able to find out what it was. But actually what it was didn't really matter. And if she had said, oh, it's a bit of the library, or it's something to do with running the building, it's how the building works, it's the plant, the machinery for the building, or something like that, it would have been a bit disappointing. So I was both excited and slightly braced for what she might say. She said, I know what that is. That's the meteorological department. It's where they watch the clouds. Now, how perfect an answer is that? I mean, in the months of speculation I've been doing with me and my walkers, no one had come up with an idea quite as delightful as the place where they watch the clouds. So this was all perfect. We carried on, and subsequent walks, I would tell the story of how I'd been speculating and the people had been different ideas, and then this turns out to be the answer. And actually talking to the lady afterwards on the walk, she had been a student at Imperial. She hadn't studied meteorology, but she had known someone who did, or whatever. So it was all good. She knew what she was talking about. And so the walks carried on. And then some more months down the line, another person in the group said, oh, and I told the story, and she said, oh, no. No, it, you're right. It used to be the meteorological department, but it's not anymore. They've moved out, and to be honest, it's quite an awkward space to get to. The door is in the corner of one of the other labs, so you have to go through the other lab and then up these other special stairs. So it's not very practical to use it for classes. So actually, really, nobody's using it anymore. It's just sitting empty. And that was a little bit crushing to discover. So after all these months of speculation and the wine and the sofa and then the clouds and stuff, for her to say that now it was just sitting empty was a bit of a shame. But then she carried on talking and she said, officially, nobody is using it. But there are some people who still remember that it's there. And every now and then someone will arm themselves with a nice bottle of wine and they will go through the other lab, through the little door in the corner, up the stairs, and they will sit and enjoy the evening with a glass of wine in the old meteorology department. So it turns out that very first suggestion of what it would be good for is still true. That is what it's good for these days. And that every now and then people are still, or at least were, I don't know by now, this was a few years ago this happened, so maybe it's been closed off entirely. Who knows? In fact, it doesn't really matter whether these illicit evenings with a glass of wine are still carrying on. Sometimes it's not the facts that are important. Sometimes it's all about the journey of discovery to find out, and also the people that you take that journey with.